सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
We'll chant verses 31 to 35, chapter 4.
Yajna Shishtamrita Bhujaha Yajna Shishtamrita Bhujaha Yanti Brahma Sanatanam Yanti Brahma Sanatanam Nayam Lokostya Yajnasya Nayam Lokostya Yajnasya कुतो यकुरु सत्तमा कुतो यकुरु सत्तमा यज्ञशिष्टामृतभुजः यान्ति ब्रह्म सनातनम् नायं लोकोऽस्य यज्ञस्य कुतो यकुरु सत्तमा। एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः वितता ब्रह्मणो मुखे वितता ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे। एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः वितता ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे। श्रेयान् द्रव्यमयाद्यज्ञाः श्रेयान् द्रव्यमयाद्यज्ञाः ज्ञानयज्ञपरन्तप ज्ञानयज्ञपरन्तप सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते। श्रेयान् द्रव्यमयाद्यज्ञाः ज्ञानयज्ञपरन्तप सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते। तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम् उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः। तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः। यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पाण्डव एवं यास्यसि पाण्डव येन भूतान्यशेषेण येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मन्यतोमयि द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मन्यतोमयि। यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पाण्डव येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मन्यतोमयि।
So from verses 25 till 30 he talked about various yajnas. Yajna activity literally means action with awareness and action without ego, without egoistic desires or egocentric desires or egoistic attitude. When you do an action with ego, you do things for your satisfaction, just to fulfill your desires, it is a sweep. Such activities bind you. When you do an action objectively, not for just oneself but for the welfare of the whole universe, such activities does not bind you. This is what we have seen so far. Verse 31.
यज्ञ शिष्टामृत भुजः यज्ञ शिष्टामृत भुजः यान्ति ब्रह्म सनातनम् यान्ति ब्रह्म सनातनम् नायं लोकोऽस्य यज्ञस्य नायं लोकोऽस्य यज्ञस्य Eaters
of the nectar, amrita, the remnant of sacrifice, go to the eternal Brahman. This world is not for the non-sacrificer. Ayagnyasya. This world is not for the non-sacrificer. How then the other? Oh, Purusattama. Purusattama means the best among the Kurus. Arjuna, for the non-sacrificer, even this world is not there. How then the other is? Now, he starts off by saying, eaters of nectar, the remnants of sacrifice, go to Brahman, eternal Brahman. What does it mean when he says eaters of nectar, amrita? Amrita means death. Amrita means beyond death, deathlessness. Eaters of the nectar, the remnants of sacrifice. If you function in this world in the spirit of yajna, the result of such an activity is amrita. You go beyond death. Now, death itself is a fiction. Death is not a fact. Death is a fiction. When he says you go beyond death, it does not mean those who do yajna activity doesn't die. What it means is nobody ever dies. That is what it means. No one really dies. No one has actually seen death. You say, no, no, I have seen many people die. Many people's death body being carried, I have seen. But the fact remains that nobody ever have seen death. In the sense, what you call as death is nothing but that which has been manifesting has stopped manifesting now. Take the example of a switch. Electricity is passing, the switch is on, it is passing through the bulb, and the bulb is glowing. You have switched off, the bulb is not glowing. You call such a condition as death. Electricity is not dying, electricity is very much there.
You continue.
Believe me, electricity is very much there, but you don't see its manifestation. So you can't say anybody died, and you can't say that you've seen death. All that you know is you have not seen, you've seen some people going from manifestation to unmanifestation. So those who do yajna, they gain jnanam, and jnanam about their own real self. Bertrand Russell says there are two types of knowledge. One is called knowledge, the other one is called as acquaintance. We know about many things, that is acquaintance. When we know about something else other than us, it's called as acquaintance. When we know about ourselves, that alone is called as knowledge. You cannot gain knowledge about something else. You can't get acquainted with yourself. You can know about yourself, you can know yourself, and you get acquainted with everything else. We stop with acquaintances, we do not gain the knowledge. So he says, those who do sacrifice, by sacrificing their ego, they go beyond the ego and they come to know their real truth about their own self, which is beyond death. It doesn't die. You are someone who never dies. For example, let us say, when we say that you don't die, we think the consciousness never dies. But for example, for instance, even the elements don't die. If you say that, what do you understand from that? What is lifeless? Can it die? Anyway, per se, they are lifeless. How can they die? So they exist. In some form or the other, they continue to exist. Are you with me? they never die, they continue to exist. If you go with reference to consciousness, consciousness never dies because that is life itself. There is no death there. So you, when these two come together, there seems to be a manifested fact that goes to unmanifestation, and that you call as death. The whole world is concerned about death, how to conquer death. So he says, those who function in this world, renouncing in the spirit of renunciation when they act, which is called as yajna, renouncing the ego, such people eat the nectar. Enjoy the nectar. Eat means enjoying. Enjoying the nectar doesn't mean something special they eat. What they come to know the truth about their own selves, which is never dying, which has no death, which never dies. All our life, we are in a way preoccupied with death. We want to preserve as much as possible to take care of our so-called death, postpone it. Somehow or the other, we want to postpone. Actually, we should understand that death is a fiction. I never die. Not only I never die, nobody ever dies. This is exactly what Krishna has been saying from chapter 2. Right? Natve vaham jatu nasvam, natvam neme janadi vaha. Never indeed was I not, nor you, nor these rulers of men. None of us will cease to be hereafter. Those who think that they can kill, those who think that they can be killed, both of them are deluded. So the truth is that you are deathless. Now it is manifested, life is manifested, sometimes it goes into unmanifestation. There are sages who have demonstrated this truth. For example, they will offer themselves to some university and tell them, for a few minutes I will go into a state of death. You, with all the tests possible, you go through my body and say whether there is life in it or not. So those people have gone through the body of the sage and they certify that the person has died. But after a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe half an hour, maybe 1 hour, they come back to life. This is what is said. Some people say that Jesus Christ knew this science, knew this yoga. How to make himself dead as far as the world is concerned for a few days. So that is why he said, after 3 days, I'll come back to life. So if you know how to consciously switch off and consciously switch on. But from this doctor's point of view, they can give you a certificate that you are dead. So in other words, death is something that is a fiction, and once you know how to consciously switch off and switch on, you can play about with it. That's what many sages have demonstrated. So for them, there is no fear of death. So he says, eaters of the nectar, the remnants of sacrifice, go to the eternal Brahma. This world is not for the non-sacrificer. Now, having told what the sacrificer gets, he is now telling what the non-sacrificer loses, misses in this world. He says, for the non-sacrificer, this world is not there. How come the other? What do you understand from this? This world itself is not there. How come the other means what?
The other that you get in sacrifice.
What is that?
Then knowing yourself, you know yourself more. As opposed to not even sacrificing in this world, so you don't even gain that state of divinity or that nectar that he talks of here, Brahman, you don't even get that. You don't sacrifice in this world.
They don't even get this world. How can they get the other? That's what he's asking. So he's saying, this world is not for the non-sacrificer. How then the other, O Guru Sattama? What is this other that he's talking about? Usually, just think about it. We say, when we die, we go to heaven. Right? For us, heaven is in the future after our death. So, all our lifetime, we do actions propelled by desires to achieve something in future. Some people, even one set of people, try to fulfill their desires by doing something. Some people try to avoid certain things because they are told, if you avoid these things, when you die, you will go to heaven. Both the category, thinking about happiness or heaven in future. Are you with me? But the fact remains that the happiness is in the present, here. It is not that it is somewhere else. So they go on missing this world. The non-sacrificer functions with ego. Out of ego, he sees not what actually is. Rather, he sees something else. He doesn't see that the truth, happiness lies here and now. He misses that. So, in fact, he misses happiness here also. If you want to be happy in this world, you must function without ego. Just one or two activities in a day. You try doing absolutely nishkam. Whatever it might be, a small little thing that you do. Do absolutely nishkama and see the amount of happiness you get in it. Throughout the day, one has been doing activity propelled by kama, sakama. He doesn't know that he's missing happiness. All that he needs, he thinks, by doing action with sakama, egoistically, trying to fulfill his egocentric desires, he will get happiness, but he never gets it. In fact, goes on missing. Whereas the other person renounces his ego, every moment he is happy. It is not as if he realizes the self later on. Every moment he is happy. That is what we need to understand. The non-sacrificer goes on missing the happiness which is in every moment. And the sacrificer is happy every moment. In fact, a lot of us think, if I go to spirituality, that will make me happy. Some people think that if I go to spirituality, I have to give up many things which will take me away from my happiness. But actually, both of them are wrong. Actually, the truth is, spirituality will not make me happy. Spirituality will do what to you?
No, teach you.
Keep you happy. Keep you happy.
Will teach you how to enjoy the moment
in the future. Spirituality will not make you happy in future. The moment you become spiritual, every moment you will be happy. That is the point. It is not that it is a means to get something. It will tell you to see the happiness here and now. So the egoistic people go on missing that happiness. So in other words, if you do yajna activity, if you sacrifice the ego, sacrifice means what? A lot of people think sacrifice means giving up something that you possess. But you may retain the possessiveness in the bargain. That is what he is going to say in verse 33. You understand? Retaining the possessiveness and sacrificing your possession is not yajna. Right? Like for example, we go to the mandir. We leave the chappal outside and we enter the mandir. as if chappal is full of dirt, therefore we leave it outside. What about your mind? Is it cleansed? One fellow sent me an SMS, one of my friend. He said, he is in fact a non-believer of God. He sent an SMS saying, I am going to go to the temple, mosque and church today because I am told there is poor beggars outside and the rich inside. So I want to meet them. What he is saying is, the poor beggars outside and the rich beggars inside. So when you go and see inside the mandir, everybody asking all the time, isn't it that your mind is dirty? You go to the mandir to offer prayers, and what is prayer? What is true prayer?
Thank you.
Just thanksgiving. Being thankful, being grateful, being aware of everything that is being given to you from the time you are born. That is what prayer is all about. So you go to yajna, so many people perform yajna, but the yajna is full of sakam. I want a child, I want a good husband, I want a good wife, I want a son only, you understand, not a daughter. I want this, I want wealth, I want name, I want fame. Go on performing yajna with sakama. That is not nishkama yajna. He is talking about nishkama yajna. So when you do nishkama activity, happiness is not what you get as a result of it. Happiness is in nishkama itself. That's what he is saying here. You are thinking that I will get happy by doing this yajna, I will get a son, and from that son I will get happiness. But you do not know that in future that very same son can grow up and imprison you to take over the kingdom from you. Isn't it? We have seen it in the history, and we have seen it happening even in the recent past in some of the places where the king's rule still continues. Father goes for some tour, and when he comes back, son has taken over, and the father is seeking asylum in some other country. You had asked for the son, thinking that through that son you will get happiness. So he says here very clearly, please understand, happiness is in yajna. So he is not going to get this world also, means happiness here. He will not be happy here performing sakama activity, nor is he going to get amritatvam, which is deathlessness. Whereas in the case of a person who practices yajna, he is happy every moment and he also reaches amaratvam. That is exactly what he is trying to say in this verse. So with that understanding, if you read, then the real happiness, the secret of happiness is in yajna activity alone. Eaters of nectar, the remnants of sacrifice go to eternal Brahman. Eternal Brahman they go to does not mean that they go afterwards. They are already destroying their vasanas and they are realizing the self within. That's what it means. Next verse. Evam bahuvida yajnaha, evam bahuvida yajnaha, vidata brahmano mukhe, vidata brahmano mukhe, karma jan vidditan sarvan, karma jan vidditan sarvan, evam nyatva vimokshyase, evam nyatva vimokshyase, evam bahuvida yajnaha, vidata brahmano mukhe, karma jan vidditan sarvan, evam nyatva vimokshyase. Thus, manifold sacrifices are spread out before Brahman. Brahmano mukhe, he says. Know them all to be born of action, thus knowing you shall be liberated. See, when he says Brahmano mukhe, face of Brahman, thus manifold sacrifices are spread out in front of Brahman. Brahman's face. What does it mean? What is Brahman's face? What does Brahman's face mean? Does Brahman have a face? Something is all pervading, how can it have a face? How can it have a form? So when he says Brahmana Mukhe, in the face of Brahman, what it means is whosoever has dissolved his or her ego. They have dissolved the individuality and they have identified with the totality. They have identified with Brahman. Are you with me? So when they speak, it is Brahman speaking and it is not that individual speaking. Are you with me? That is why we say that the entire Vedas are called as apaurusham. Paurusham means that which has come up with human effort. Vedas are said to have come not because of human effort. In fact, when the human ego perished, what came out through that personality was called as Vedas. So what came through any masters, you can call it as Veda. So when they are identified with Brahman, whatever they speak, that is called Vedas. And Veda also means to know, knowledge. All the knowledges have given very many yajna activities. That's what it means. Very many yajna activities have come through the Vedas, have come through the scriptures, any scriptures. I wouldn't want to limit it only to these four Vedas. It could be any scripture, whether it is the scripture of Buddhism or Jainism or Christianity or Islam. Whatever scripture that is, any person who dissolved his or her ego, whatever comes through that person is not coming from his or her personal efforts. Such things are called as Vedas. So he says, through the scriptures, very many manifold sacrifices are given, very many activities are given. You could do any of them, but know all to be born of action. All are karma only. And when you know that activities pertain to the body, mind and intellect, and I am Atma who is not the doer, which we have seen verse number 18, chapter 4, we have spent sufficient time. Thus knowing, you shall be liberated. You could do any activity, doesn't matter. But you should do it objectively. That is what matters. Are you with me?
To understand the second part of the action, but does manifold sacrifices come up with the meaning? Not
No, no, very many activities have come through Brahman, Brahman's face. Meaning various actions are mentioned in the Vedas. We go to the Vedas, do this, do that. You know, in Grihastashrama, it is full of yajna activities. All these yajna activities you can do whatever, doesn't matter. No, all of them are pertaining to action. You are actually the pure consciousness, Brahman. You are not the doer. Knowing means seeing objectively. If you detach and function immaterial of what activity you perform, you, rather than increasing your vasanas, you dissolve your vasanas. Thus you shall be liberated, knowing that they are all born of action, not of you. You think I am the doer. Now clearly understand that you are not the doer. Various activities are mentioned. So don't per se say this action is not to be done, that action is to be done, etc. it is not what action you do, but how you do. That is what I said. You could be doing the action of sacrificing your position. But you could be sacrificing your position with tremendous possessiveness. And that ceases to be a gain. Rather, you do your activity without possessiveness, that would be a gain. Are you with me? So therefore, many, many activities are mentioned in the Vedas. They are all born of action. It is not born of you. You are Atma. Atma never does anything. Thus knowing, you shall be liberated. Thus knowing means what? Thus acting with that knowledge. That is what is called as knowing. See, whenever we say knowing, knowing means acting. If you say, I know that potassium cyanide is poisonous, I will immediately act upon that knowledge by not keeping potassium cyanide in my kitchen. If I say, I know that potassium cyanide is poisonous, but I continue to keep it in my kitchen, then you do not know. So thus knowing, you shall be liberated. Meaning, thus knowingly will you function. Now unknowingly you are functioning. Unknowingly you are functioning means what? You are functioning with mithya jnana. That is, I am the doer. If you function with I am the doer attitude, doesn't matter what you sacrifice. You may be sacrificing your wealth completely, but yet you are doing it with I am the doer attitude. You will only be increasing your vasanas, your jnana. So therefore he says, thus manifold activities have come from Vedas, Brahmano Mukhe, Evam Bhagavida Yajnaha Vidata Brahmano Mukhe. So you don't have to worry, I am not doing that yajna, this yajna. Whatever you are doing, that could be converted into yajna. Breathing, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. He is going to mention that in the fifth chapter. Anything that you do could be converted into yajna. So this sage has mentioned these yajnas, that sage would have mentioned these yajnas. Doesn't really matter. You don't have to read all the books to then say, okay, I will do these things. Whatever you do, from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed, all these things, if you do with this knowledge that all the activities are born of karma and not of me, I have nothing to do with the action, I am a witness. Thus, if you function as a witness in this world, you get liberated. The problem is, we tend to question beyond limits, and each answer leading us to different questions. End of the day, not actually practicing and benefiting. Are you with me? That's why traditional masters will tell you, we will explain to you, we will give you the answer, but you also try it out, practice and see and get the benefit immediately. By questioning, I will have to understand, only then I will practice. But your questions can never be answered fully, especially when it comes to Atma Jnana. So they say, when you practice Yajna with witnessing, mindful activity, action with awareness, without ego, without desire, know when you function like that, you shall be knowing. Thus, you shall be liberated. That's what it means. Knowing does not mean intellectual understanding. That is why I am emphasizing on that word knowing. Knowing you shall be liberated means acting thus you shall be liberated. Acting in the spirit of yajna, you shall be liberated. Verse number 33.
Shreyan dravyamaya yajnaha, shreyan dravyamaya yajnaha, jnana yajna parantapa, jnana yajna parantapa, sarvam karma kilam pata, sarvam karma kilam pata, jnane parisamapyate, jnane parisamapyate, shreyan dravyamaya yajnaha, jnana yajna parantapa, sarvam karma kilam pata, jnane parisamapyate.
He had mentioned few yajnas in the portion between 25 and 30. He talked about dravya yajna, tapo yajna, yoga yajna, etc. So he is saying the sacrifice of wisdom, jnana yajna, is superior, shreya, superior, better to the sacrifice of wealth, dravya maya yajna, o parantapa, uskatra rafos. Really, the foe within you is your enemy. No, sorry, your ego. Nobody else. Your enemy is your ego. The enemy is not outside. It is within you. So scotch that foe. Scotch that foe who is within you, which is the ego. So the sacrifice of wisdom is superior to the sacrifice of wealth. O Parantapa. Why is he saying this? I already explained to you. When you do dravya yajna, tapo yajna, all these various yajnas mentioned in the Vedas, you may do it for getting something. So you are there as a beggar. Your mind is still not purified. Whether you do yajna or you don't do yajna doesn't really matter. Are you with me? Action of yajna doesn't really matter. Jnana yajna is superior. Jnana yajna meaning not sitting and studying here, that also could be done with ego. So when he says jnana yajna means what? Sacrifice of ego. Do you understand that? Shreyan dravyamaya yajna jnana yajna parandapa. Just merely sacrificing yajna. Lot of people do this. Easy. Right? Knowledge is coming from the teacher. You don't have to worry, you don't have to struggle and break your brains to draw the knowledge out. You go to the guru, the guru is talking. You take notes and repeat it and think by that repetition and remembrance, you can catch Brahman. You can never catch Brahman that way. Remember, I've given you the example before. Ganga is flowing. The river bed is there. Now Ganga has dried, let us say. The river bed is there. But what is there is only sand. You are worshipping the sand. Nothing happens to you. Your thirst is not quenched. What do you have to do?
Dig
deep. What is there very much. So when the Guru is there, water is flowing. But what you fail to understand is, you need to dig deep through the words of the Guru for you to quench your personal thirst. So for you to get liberation, by getting stuck to the words of the Guru is not enough. By trying to chant them, by trying to remember them, that is not jnana yajna. You understand? Jnana yajna means digging deep and dissolving the ego. Shreyan dravyamaya yajna jnana yajna parantapa. The sacrifice of wisdom is superior to the sacrifice of material wealth, anything else for the matter. So many yajnas people do. In fact, even today they do. If you perform one yajna here, you think only these many people will be coming to your house? You find out. You just conduct one yajna and see. Inform people that there is Bhagavad Gita class also, and inform people that there is one yajna also going. You find out how many people will come for yajna. Because for them, if they come and put the ahuti, their desires will get fulfilled. The moment you say, by this mantra, you will get millions, millions of people will come. There is so many people ready for performing such yajnas. In fact, such yajnas are what are performed many places, thinking that they will give you the happiness. They cannot give you the happiness.
The sacrifice of wisdom, jnana yagya, does it apply to people who have gained wisdom? Let's say he has to say that he has studied. So we are still on the path of gaining wisdom to whatever stages and phases. So, it applies to more like a teacher, guru, of the...
See, first of all, to the extent one has unveiled his self or herself, only he or she can communicate the self. Are you with me? So, if you want to communicate jnana, you must have gone deep. Not just the length, but you should have gone deep within you, and you must have gone beyond your ego. To the extent you have unveiled yourself, only to that extent you can communicate the self. Exactly. That alone is knowledge. See, in the 13th chapter, Lord Krishna is going to talk, Arjuna is asking, Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Jnanam, Nyeyam, Prakriti and Purusha. Please explain to me all these six things. What is Kshetra? What is Kshetrajna? What is Jnanam? What is Nyeyam? What is Prakriti? What is Purusha? These are the six questions Arjuna asks. So when he talks about what is jnanam, he gives qualities. He gives 20 qualities. And the very first quality, you know what it is? Amanitvam. Amanitvam means humility. He doesn't say, you should have by-hearted Bhagavad Gita. You should have memorized Upanishads. You should know how to chant them. Maybe backwards also. He doesn't say any of that. All that he says is, Amanitvam. If you have humility, this is knowledge. So what is knowledge? Knowledge is not length. Knowledge is depth. So he says, the sacrifice of wisdom is superior to the sacrifice of wealth. In other words, people are wasting their time literally by doing such yajna activities, thinking that that will help them to be happy here and take them to Amaratvam, but it will not. You understand? We are not able to sit down and study and go deep into the scriptures through which we dig deep into our own personality. Therefore, we require the help of activities. Please understand this. Not everybody is so introvert enough to be able to use the scripture and go within themselves. So you need to do activities, whatever that activity might be. So very many activities are there, especially in modern world, there are so many more activities. Do all those activities simply because you are not able to just go within. Use those activities to go within. Right? See, if I tell you to sit down and study 24 hours, 365 days, can you do? You have to act. Therefore, do the activity. But do that activity also without ego, for the welfare of everyone. Loka Sangraha. Understanding that you are a part of the total, and as a part you have a role to play. Just like how kidney is part of the total body, and that part called kidney has a role to play, you also have a role to play. You play that role to the best of your ability. Thus functioning, slowly, slowly you will move from extroversion to introversion. There will come a time when you are able to be sitting without running around. But either way, sitting also you have to go within you. Therefore, external activities are mentioned. But external activities per se is not going to give you jnana. Are you with me? You have to dig deep within your personality. So, the sacrifice of jnana, you can only sacrifice jnana to the extent you have jnana. And if you have jnana means what? You have gone beyond ego. How will you go beyond ego? By digging deep within your personality. Not by holding on to the words of the master per se. By collecting so many books, by collecting so many CDs, by writing so many notes, per se nothing is going to happen. Notebooks will sell, pens will sell, per se, I'm saying per se, right? What we need to do is, we have to use them in our life. Vedanta is an experimental science, don't forget. So when Vedanta says, act with, in the spirit of yajna, you will be happy now and you will be dissolving the ego totally and realizing the self, you must put it into practice and see. But what happens is, see, usually the ego and laziness are cousin brothers, or you can say own brothers, twins. There are other side, two sides of the same coin. So what does the ego do? Ego doesn't want to do. So what does it do? Very trickily, intelligently, the intelligent ego postpones the action. How? By asking how. You understand what I'm saying? How does it do that? By asking how. See, that is why they say what you need is that surrender. Sharanagati. Shraddha is Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. You must have that Shraddha. The Guru is saying, you question and all that is fine, but plunge. Do it, but we will not do. Our ego will not allow us to do. So in ajnan, in ego, what do? How do we postpone the activity? By asking, how does this work? Then if the Guru gives some answer, how do you say that this will happen? What if that happens? We'll go on postponing. So we use the questioning to postpone rather than going within. This is the problem. So, oh, he's very intelligent. He goes on questioning. Not necessary. That is why next verse, when we go to the next verse, I'll point it out to you. First he says, pranipatena, then pariprashnena. First surrender, then questioning. The problem is, you do not have surrender. You just simply question because you do not want to do it and see. Because you are not really craving for it. You really do not understand that there is no happiness in this world. See, what happens is, we don't learn from our experiences. I go through something, I chase something and I get it. But I haven't got happiness. So we don't learn from that experience. We learn, you can't say we don't learn, we learn. But we don't learn the right knowledge. We learn false knowledge. What do I mean by that? I chase some object. I put in so much of effort. After such struggle, I get that object. Now I haven't got happiness. I don't learn from this experience that happiness is not there in the outside world. What do I learn? I learn that happiness was probably not in this object. Happiness is there in that object. This is the problem. Then I start chasing that object. Oh, I made again a mistake. I should have chased this object. I should chase that object. So I go on chasing objects. So then I think, oh, happiness is probably there in Bhagavad Gita. Happiness is probably there in Upanishads. Then I chase that object. Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad. Then Bhagavad Gita and Upanishad says, do nishkama karma. Kama karma, I have to do. Why? How is it going to help me? Rather than doing and benefiting, I keep on asking questions and postponing, I never experience. And then I blame that they were not able to explain to me how I get it. You see that?
This
is the problem. Therefore, the masters are telling us that there is no happiness for a non-sacrificer. And the happiness is there only in gaining the jnanam, simply mechanically doing the so-called rituals per se will not save you. The rituals are meant because you cannot sit down idle. Today your desires are so many. Therefore, to help you out, very many rituals are mentioned. But all those rituals are to be done selflessly. But the problem is, we sacrifice wealth, we give this, we give that, and we think we have done some spiritual activity. End of the day, all that we want is, we want some blessings from those many people, which will help us to get this and therefore, Shriyan, Dravya Maya, Yajna, Jnana Yajna, Parantapa, all actions without exception, O Partha, culminate in wisdom. All karma finally culminates in wisdom only. Till then, you will not rest content. You will go on trying this and that and that and this. Finally, you will rest content only upon getting the wisdom of your own self. Till you gain the wisdom of self, you will try to gain as many things as possible. But unless and until you gain the wisdom of yourself, you will not stop the activity. So he says, all activities culminate in wisdom. So therefore, instead of wasting your time in this yajna and that yajna, gain jnanam. Because what will help you is jnanam. Ajnanam is like sleep. Jnanam is like waking up. So honestly speaking, jnanam and ajnanam are not opposites. False knowledge is opposite. You can move from ajnanam to jnanam. But the problem is, from ajnanam we go on to move to false jnanam, vidyajnanam. You understand? And to move from that false knowledge to real knowledge. Today the problem is, we believe that since I have acquaintances about so many things, what we call as knowledge today. The word should be used is acquaintance, not knowledge. Right? I am satisfied with my acquaintance. That is false knowledge. I think my acquaintance, which will help me to get acquainted with many more. If I have the worldly knowledge, that will help me to make money, and with money I can get more acquaintance. I have never travelled because I don't have money. Now this knowledge will help me to gain that money, and that money will help me to travel around the world. By travelling around the world, I will be happy. This is false knowledge. This is acquaintance. This is not knowledge. So the problem is, today we started confusing ourselves with acquaintance as knowledge. That is a problem. Acquaintance is not knowledge. What education gives us is acquaintance, not knowledge of our true self. For the knowledge of our true self, we need to do Nishkama Seva. Without Nishkama Seva, it is impossible that you can be happy. Take up lunch. Okay, you tried asking questions, you are not satisfied. Now try it up. You may say, how can I do? I am a very scientific person. You are doing this many in many places. Are you really asking how the food gets converted and into blood? You don't care how it really gets converted into blood and energy. You simply eat. You don't ask question there. Do you ask question there? You may ask, but you are not satisfied. So do you stop eating? You are not really able to understand. You are sitting in the science class where they are talking about how the digestive system functions. Right? You attended the class as attentively as possible, but you still did not understand. Your stomach started sending out signals that I am hungry. Put something. You say, no, I am not understood how this digestive system works. So I will not eat till I... You don't say that. Are you with me? So that, so therefore he says, knowledge which is nothing but nishkama karma, nishkama seva will help you. Because a lot of people are interpreting this knowledge as just reading the books. Just reading the books is not knowledge. You are getting acquainted with Krishna's words, that's all. Krishna's words is, if you get acquainted with Ganga sand, you don't get water. You need to use the sand, dig deep, then you will get it. Next verse. Very famous off-quoted verse is 24th verse.
तद्विद्धिप्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनस्तत्वदर्शिनः तद्विद्धिप्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनस्तत्वदर्शिनः
Pranipatena means prostration. Prashnena means question. Sevaya means service. So he says, know that. How do I gain that knowledge? Because last verse he said, know, you must be doing jnana yajna. How do I gain that knowledge? Jnana. So he says, know that by prostration. Prostration to whom? To a guru. When will you go and prostrate? When will you go and prostrate to a doctor? When you have the problem, will you go to the doctor?
When you solve it.
You have to go to him to solve it. I'm asking, when will you go to the doctor? Sadhana is saying, when I have a problem. Do you go when you have a problem?
The doctor?
You can't solve the problem.
When do you go to a doctor? Think about those words that you are using. You are saying, when I have a problem.
When I have a problem, I can't solve it.
When I have a problem, I can't solve. What does it mean?
Then I need some help.
It means
guidance.
I am aware that I have a problem that I cannot solve. You may have disease now also, but you may not know that you have a problem. So there is no question of going to the doctor. Are you with me? So it is not necessary that you go to a doctor only when you have a problem. Just having a problem is not enough. You must have what?
The awareness.
The awareness that I have a problem.
And it.
So you must have the awareness that I am ignorant. That is essential. So when he says pranipatena, it means that I am aware that I am suffering from ignorance. So the knowledge of ignorance is an essential aspect to gain knowledge. So Shreyan Dravyamayadhyajna Jnanayajna Parantapa. Jnanayajna is superior. So how do I gain that knowledge? by realizing my ignorance. First stage. First step in gaining knowledge is what? Usually you are suffering from unconscious ignorance. You are ignorant, but you are not conscious that you are ignorant. Second stage is conscious ignorance. That's what he is saying. And when I am conscious of my ignorance, ignorance means I have a problem and I do not have a solution for it. Then you go to the person whom you believe will be able to give you the solution. So that Vidhi, know that. Vidhi means, Vidhi means know. Know that by prostration. By prostration means realizing that you are suffering from ignorance. And ignorance does not mean you do not have acquaintance. I have acquaintance, but I realize that acquaintance is not real knowledge. As long as I do not know who I am, I do not have knowledge. Then what do I have? I have only acquaintance. So when I realize that, then I prostrate to a guru who has realized the self. Who according to me, who I believe has realized the self. Now, when I approach him with devotion, prostration, meaning what? Now my head will be given to him. Real me. I surrender to that guru, and whatever that guru says, I will try to absorb through questioning, and I will not stop with questioning alone. I will go and put it into practice. Sevaya here means serving the guru as well as putting that into practice, which is serving the whole world. Ariyuni Advriti Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. You do the Nishkama Seva, experiencing it. You have to put it into practice to see how it helps. The doctor says, you have a problem in your knee. Right? The doctor says, you eat this food, your knee will get better. You say, I am putting the food inside my mouth. Right? How is that my knee is getting alright? So the doctor explains. You are not fully understanding what the doctor explains. How the food gets converted into this and that and goes and solves the problem there at the knee. Don't understand. Then what do you have to do? With surrender, you must take the medicine. Then you will see the knee getting better. So that is what he is saying here. Know that by prostration and questioning. But don't stop there. You have to go and practice. And when you put it into practice by serving the guru and serving entire universe, Loka Sangraha, whatever the guru says, functioning in the spirit of Yajna, which is called as Loka Sangraha, then you will gain that knowledge. So know that by prostration, by questioning, by service. The wise who have realized the truth will teach you the knowledge. Now the question is, where do I find the guru? Right? Now the next question is, okay sir, I realized the ignorance. So we interpreted prostration as what? Realizing that I am ignorant and searching the guru, going and prostrating to the guru, surrendering to the guru, and whatever he teaches, try to absorb through questioning and put it into practice, because Vedas are experimental science. As long as you have not experimented what the Vedas say, you won't get the benefit. Okay. Now, the question is, where am I going to find the guru? So in the next line he says, the wise who have realized the truth will teach you the knowledge. What it means? It means that if you truly have the demand, the guru will find you. You don't have to worry about finding the guru.
Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha.
Tattva darshinaha means what? One who has the darshan of the essence, tattva himself. One who is established in the truth, a realized master will come and teach you. You do not have to find the guru will find you. That's what it means. Where there is a demand, there is a
supply.
No, nowadays they call it as targeted marketing. Do you know what is targeted marketing? The group that is interested in it.
Yeah.
So if you have been googling for tickets to go abroad, you will suddenly see
hotels.
The advertisements that pops up in your screen will be of hotels and air tickets and this and that. You understand? Because they realize that you have a demand, there is a
supply.
Actually it is frightening, because there is somebody watching you.
All the time.
All the time. You understand? It is actually frightening if you think about it. Anyway, come back to this verse. So the wise, a lot of us say, oh, in this world there are so many fake gurus. What do I do? I am really interested in knowing, but which guru will I go to? So many, every day there is some news or the other. This fellow is a fake, that fellow is a fake. Whom do I go? Here, Krishna's answer to that question is, you don't have to worry about that. You have to be concerned about whether you are a Shishya. If you are a Shishya, the Guru will find you. Where there is a demand, there is a supply. In fact, I told you a story about a fake Guru, isn't it? And because surrendering is important. If you surrender does not mean following blindly. Really, surrendering does not mean following blindly. See, for example, when they talk about Nishkama Seva, you can try it out. But if they talk about breathing exercise, there you have to be careful. See, for example, in the 12th chapter, Lord Krishna himself says, knowledge is better than practice. Usually what do we say?
Practice
is better than knowledge. But Krishna himself says there, knowledge is better than practice. Why? Because certain things are science. Right? I don't have the knowledge. But if I practice, the effect will certainly come. Therefore, I should know and then practice. If you practice Nishkama Seva, nothing dangerous will happen. But if you do certain yogic techniques, something dangerous can happen. For example, if you do Kapalabhati, without knowing how it is to be done or how much it is to be done, beyond your certain things will happen. Giddiness will come and you fall down and then you say, my God. You understand? So in other words, here he is talking about Nishkama Seva Yajna, functioning in the spirit of service and sacrifice. Thus, if you are a true Shishya, a guru will find you and he will impart you the knowledge. Now, when you surrender, the surrendering is very important. To whom you surrender really doesn't matter. This kind of story is said, but understand this story in the right context. There is a fake guru.
to whom so many students have joined, and many of them were fakes also. They were not really seeking the knowledge. They were just there because the guru was famous, etc., etc. But one person was a true seeker. Right? All the other fake shishyas did not like him. So they complained to the guru that this fellow is not really having faith in you. You must test him. So the guru said, jump from this mountain. If you have true surrender, you must follow what I say. And that fellow has true surrender. So he simply jumped from the mountain. Everybody was so curious to know what has happened to that fellow, including the guru. He himself is not a true guru. So he was so curious to know what happened. Arey, I just told this fellow to jump. He jumped. My God, I doubted this fellow. So they get down to see what happened to that fellow. That fellow was happily sitting down on the rope. Don't ask me how and all that. This is just a story. So the guru was so surprised. My God, I told this fellow jump. I'm a fake fellow, nobody knows. I told this fellow to jump. He jumped, but nothing happened to him. So he started getting concerned. Then after some time, again they complained, and he said, okay, now jump into the ocean. Then also nothing happened to him. So guru was so surprised. How come nothing happened to you? He said, I have absolute surrender in faith, so therefore nothing happened to me. So if you have absolute surrender, nothing will happen to you. The guru died. He died because he did not have true faith. You understand? So what it means is, if you deeply surrender, that surrender helps. It's not blindly. Deeply surrendering is different from blindly surrendering. You understand? There's a very subtle difference. So when you prostrate to the guru, when you surrender, you question, you know, and you try to put it to practice, like how you do in the school. You learn and then go to the lab and practice that. Exactly like that, for you, your life should become the laboratory. Unless and until you are ready for that, you won't really benefit from spiritual study. If your life doesn't become a laboratory where you experiment, you will not benefit. So we've been studying about nishkama karma. A lot of us may do distribution of sardis, food, this and that. That is not necessary nishkama seva. It could be full of karma. If it is full of karma, you will only get more agitated rather than getting peace. Peace you cannot buy. Peace you cannot buy. You understand? Peace is an effect of dissolving the ego or mind. So the moment you start acting selflessly, you will find peace in your life. But to temporarily bring your mind to calmness, if you do certain things, you may feel better, but that is not peace. Again, the agitation starts. So Swamiji says, no selfish person can be happy. No unselfish person can be happy. It is a law.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.